Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Ki Seitei, which of course contains a huge plethora of mitzvos. If I'm not mistaken, it contains 74 different mitzvos. We're not going to cover all 74. We'll just go with our traditional points to ponder. And so the Parsha begins with a series of mitzvos, which leads us to the third one, the issue of the Ben Sora Umora, the rebellious son. And the Gemara tells us that the Ben Sora Omora is Nidon al Shem Sofo, he's punished because of the way he's going to end up in the end. It's not because of the way he is right now. He's not being judged on his current crimes. And so, of course, the fact is he gets the death penalty, and that's because of the way things are supposed to be. Now, the truth is, on coming on Rosh Hashanah, on the heels of Rosh Hashanah, we know that on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we read the Kriyas HaTorah about Yishmael, and how God listened and saved Yishmael, ki shamati lekol hanar ba'asher husham, that God listened to Yishmael based on where he was judged. How does the Ben Sora Omora get the death penalty while Yishmael gets life within the process? So a number of answers are suggested by a number of different commentaries, but there's always the famous quip that was provided by the Kutzker Rebbe. The Kutzker Rebbe suggested that the words Nidon al Shem Sofo, the fact that he is judged based on the way he's going to turn out in the end, does not mean at the end. Al Shem Sofo refers not to his end, but the end of his title, Al Shem Sofo, his end. His end is Ben Sorer Umora. So the last piece would be Umora, that he is going to be Mora Derech, that he's going to teach other people to follow in his footsteps. Says the Kutzker Rebbe, it's crucial to create opportunities to rehabilitate the future of anyone needing the help. But if he's going to be Mora Derech, if he's going to be teaching the people to go ahead and follow through on his practice, then that's something we can't allow to come at the expense of others. And so therefore, there's a difference between the Ben Sora Umora and Yishmael, who at the end, of course, came around and did tshuva, as the Pasuk does recognize, and of course, as we recognize with our choice of including Yishmael in the Kriyas HaTorah of the days of Rosh Hashanah. We go on and we study a little bit further about the mitzvah of Ki Elish Chet Mishpat Mavis Vehumas. When a man shall have a judgment of a death penalty, V'taliso So Aleitz, you should hang him on a tree. Now, why do we hang the person on a tree, and why a man and not a woman, as the Gemara suggests? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Aleph suggests that this is a reference to Adam Arishon, who denied Hashem at the time of the Aveira of the Eitz Hadas. And so the author of the Eitz Yosef on the Inyanka points out that it is this tree, the Eitz Hadas, that led Adam Harishon to the Aveira. And so returning him there, albeit temporarily, is a reminder of the source of the sin. Ki afarata v'la afartosh of kiel, ki min ha'etz chatasa, u'min ha'etz hatasid loshuv. And so the author of the Agyon HaShel Torah adds that this isn't a punishment, it's a symbolic reminder, so that everyone else will see it. And of course, that's why it doesn't last a very long period of time. We go on and read about the mitzvah of Shiloach HaKan, Shaleach Teshalach Esayim, Vesabanim Tikach Lach Laman Yitav Lach Varach Deyamim, that we are told to send away the mother bird and take the children for ourselves, and so that it will be good for us and we should have a long life. And the rationale for this mitzvah, quite honestly, is mystifying. Why is the reward here connected to longevity? So Rabbi Dr. Reuven Bulka, a phenomenal Talmud Chacham, a terrific Baal Itza, and an individual who has been involved in Rabbanus for a very long period in time, he once noted that the other time we find the same connection is in the same schar, the same reward, is in connection to honoring one's parents. He noted that at least on a homiletical level, and of course one should look at the Ramban here because it's crucial in understanding the issue of Arach Deyamim. So at least as far as homiletically, this isn't a haphazard connection that these two mitzvot, Shiluach HaKan and Kibud Av V'Em, are connected. Says Rabbi Bulka, it's only through our appreciating the sources of our existence and behaving respectfully towards those sources that we can have a happy life, a life in which we'll be blessed in quantity and in quality. In other words, says Rabbi Bulka, preservation of our physical life source brings with it the promise of continual food supply, and hence a long life. And preservation of our spiritual life source brings with it the promise of a life of tranquility and blessedness, and a longevity in which each day is profoundly valued. And so thus, the Arichas Yamim is not only a question of an Arichas Yamim, a long life, but a Hatavas, HaChaim, and one cannot appreciate what life's all about if one doesn't appreciate the sources that gave him life. And so therefore, Kibud Avim and watching the Shaleach to Shalach Hatzayim, those two pieces are intimately interconnected, at least on a homiletical level. Then the Torah changes gears a little bit and gives us an understanding about the man and the woman who are together. And the man is mafata, or at least seems to have some sort of relations with the woman, the woman who is a nara hamaorasa, and so she gets stoned. And why? So the Torah says, because al davar shalot tzaka. And again, I encourage you to study the halachos here, and specifically the Ramban, whose commentary here is crucial. And the question has to be raised, why is the nara hamaorasa stoned in the same way as her alleged attacker? Simply because she didn't cry out, it doesn't make sense. So the Sfasemis here notes that the implication of the actions here are that the relations were consensual. And we often claim that we're also not to blame for our sins, since it was the Yetzer Hara's coercion that caused us the sins. So the Sfasemis says, we don't have such a right to that claim. If we were indeed coerced, we, as the Nara Hamaorasa, should have cried out. We should have davened to Hashem to help us fight off the Yetzer Hara. We were mefutem. We were allowed ourselves to be subjected to pitui, to be interested, and so therefore, unfortunately, we are guilty in what happens as a result. We're told that we have a responsibility to not allow and not show any credence. Lo yavo amoni muavi bikal Hashem. We shouldn't allow Amon and Moav into Am Yisrael. Al devar shok lo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim baterach b'teischem in Mitzrayim, because they didn't greet you with bread and water when you left Mitzrayim. So the truth of the matter is, the Telzers here, I find myself in Cleveland, Ohio this evening, and the truth is that the Telzers have very interesting ideas and to understand these two disparate issues for excluding Moabite and Ammonite converts. How do you compare the issue of Al Devar Shelo Kidmu Eschem Balechem Uvamayim together with Ve'is Asher Sachar Belam Ben Be'or Lekal Aleka? So first and foremost, I heard a nice thought from Rabbi Naftali Bernstein, Shlita the Rav of the Young Israel of Greater Cleveland, who also seemed to quote from the Bali Moser, to best of my knowledge, was Rabbi Eliyahu Meir Bloch, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that tells the Rosh Yeshiva, who suggested that the major issue over here is the issue and the reconciliation that one begets the other. When there's evil, when there's a desire to hire a Bilam, that happens, that doesn't happen in a nutshell, it happens as a gradual involvement. First, people have a kfiyas hatov, and when there's a kfiyas hatov, when there's a lack of respect for humankind, so then it can lead to all sorts of different terrible things, up until but not limited to the hiring of Bilam. And so therefore, those two issues are really a continuum to a series of bad midos. But while we're quoting from Telzers, and of course being in Cleveland, the home of Telz, it's appropriate to quote from Telzers. Reb Lazer Gordon, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, as cited by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman Zatzal, explained that the hiring of Bilam is an antithesis to an argument that the Moavim and the Ammonim didn't believe in miracles, and thus they didn't believe respect was due to Am Yisrael. But once they hired Bilam, they showed that they believed in Hashem and His power and just didn't want to respect the Jewish nation. So Rabbi Lazer Gordon added that the same is true of people who claim to be secularists. They cannot argue that they don't believe in anything. They believe in a lot of things. They're just not sure what to believe. And so thus, without Torah, one remains blind and baffled, and a person needs to rise up and believe in things beyond Torah. Later, the Torah tells us that we're careful, los azgir eved al adonav, when you have an eved kanani, we're supposed to go ahead and not return him. If he makes it teretz yisrael, we're not supposed to rush him and give him back to his original owners, to the non-Jews who own this Eved Kanani. And then we're told, in addition, lo so nanu, that we're not supposed to treat him inappropriately. And the Torah concludes the section with the phrase lo to nanu, meaning that you shouldn't verbally abuse the person. And this comes in addition to the isser against verbal abuse that exists by any Jew, and the special prohibition against the verbal abuse of a ger that exists within the parsha. And so, thus, the Pasuk seems to be adding a new prohibition, and that is mocking an Eved who has come to the land of Israel. So Rabbi Lichtenstein Zecher Tzadik Levracha pointed out that with regard to the general prohibition against verbal abuse, Chazal take a very harsh approach, comparing verbal abuse in the form of humiliation to Shvichas Damim. Take a look at the Gemara Bava Metzia and Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, where this becomes very apparent. And furthermore, the more sensitive and emotionally vulnerable the person abused, the more severe is the Isser. And it's for that reason that there's an additional prohibition against abusing a stranger, and yet another in the case of the Eved Kenani. If you say something bad about a person who has thick skin, so then the person just goes on as if nothing occurred. But if you speak badly about someone who's very sensitive, you can destroy his whole world. And so thus, in terms of the damage caused, it's more severe to mock somebody who's sensitive. Correspondingly, it's also more severe on the part of the person abusing if the victim is affected by what he says. As says Rav Aaron, people often tend to mock those who are weak. And so the Torah goes out of its way to emphasize how problematic this is, providing an additional isser against abusing the Eved. And so the Torah is telling us we need to go out of our way to help those people, doing what we can to help those people thrive. And the attention that's paid to the escaped Eved teaches us to have the special sensitivity, raising our already higher moral standard for those who need it most. Torah tells us that kikach yish isha, and the Gemara in Brachos sees on the words matza isha versus motza, and the Gemara says that at Jewish weddings they used to dance asking matza or motze. And the form of motzei is being dangerous based on the pasuk motzei ani mar mimav eses ha'isha, while the latter one, matza isha matza tov, is of the style of positive. So Shimshon David Pinkus, that's how, notes that one's constantly reviewing his or her match to see if he has a mitzia, if it's a good fit, then that experience is mar mimav es. That experience is going to be worse than death. We call that in my world OCPD. God engaged the Jewish people differently. He noted, Matzachin Bamidbar, it's done. Once he found what he was looking for, even without all the adornments he expected, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted it, and he never, ever looked back. And we have that responsibility in our lives as well. And if we want to make sure our lives are not Mar Mimavis, that's a good way for us to proceed. The Torah continues and tells us, Achor Eis Asher Hashem Elokecha LeMiriam. We have a responsibility of remembering that which Hashem did to Miriam. And of course, what's the point of remembering the sin of Miriam? So the Chafetz Chaim noted that the issue is one of Lashon Hara, even where that Lashon Hara is unintentional. And Mori V'Rabbi, Rav Shechter Shalita, quoted Rav Kook Zatzal, who used to note that Lashon Hara is not merely one of the mainstays of the faith. So how could it be a reference to one of the six Zechiras? Why is this Zechiras Miriam supposed to be a reference to Lashon Hara? So Rav Kook answered that the belief in Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu as the Supreme Navi is one of the main Ikari HaEmuna, and that became apparent at the time of the sin of Miriam. She said, we're also Nevi'im, but what she didn't realize is that we are different. And we need to remember that the lesson of the Andon HaNevi'im is being learned over here, and if that's the case, then how is it that everyone who violates a mitzvah is not guilty of violating the words of a Navi? So Rav Shechter quoted Rav Salavitchik Zatzal on a number of occasions that that's the case when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking in the form of a Navi, that the Torah's Nevuah is a Harasha. But if it's something that's a Din L'Doros, on the one hand, the Onesh for not listening is different, but it has a set definition of punishment. Moshe Rabbeinu carries both levels. Moshe Rabbeinu is, on the one hand, the Nevi HaNevi'im, the Avi HaNevi'im. No one was a greater Navi, but Moshe Rabbeinu is also the leader of the Jewish people, and he teaches ideas that exist for the future. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read, Ki Meinoach Sosli, and by referring to the Mabul as Meinoach, it sounds as if the Navi is blaming Noach for the role in having the Mabul come. And so Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal explains that Noach was held somewhat culpable since he had the opportunity to daven for the people of his dar, and he didn't do so. And perhaps that's why we say Yesh Darshan Oso L'Gnai. He didn't seize on the chance to daven on behalf of his people. We have that responsibility in life. We have to seize every opportunity that exists for us not only to improve ourselves, but improve the dar around us. And if we do so, not only will we, but our dar will be able to achieve not only a Shabbat Shalom, but a Yom Shekulo Shabbos, Umnucha, Lechaye, Ha'olamim.